Okay, we're talking to Charlie McGraw, who worked at WTMA in the early 80s. He's joining us via phone from Las Vegas, Nevada. Now, Charlie, when exactly were you at WTMA?
It was 81, actually. Kind of hard for me to remember. You know, I'm getting too old and my memory's gone. But I do have some fond memories of the station. Even before that, it's kind of special for me to have worked at TMA. I grew up and went to high school in Somerville, down the street from Charleston. So I grew up listening to the Big Boob, Bobby Nash, and those guys. So when I had a chance to work at the station, it was something real special to me, having grown up listening to those guys.
Now, WTMA wasn't your first radio job, was it?
No. Actually, my first radio job was in Louisville, Kentucky at Wacky Radio, 79 WAKY.
Oh, great radio station.
Yeah.
Great radio station.
Yeah. Coyote Calhoun, all those guys were, I guess, staples there. And still there in Louisville, a couple of those guys.
Now, Coyote Calhoun has been the program director for WAMZ, WHAS's FM, for like 20 years.
He and Gary Burbank and all of us were good friends. Bob Moody. I don't know if you know those names or not.
Yes, I do, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, and I guess Mike McVeigh was the PD there at the time, you know, McVeigh Media.
Yeah.
So we became real good friends. We still stay in touch from out here. So that's where I got started. Then moved out here to Las Vegas at a little AM station, country back then, and been here pretty much ever since, except for a little stint in Columbus, Ohio at WNCI.
All right, now, what prompted you to come to Charleston to WTMA?
Actually, my dad was ill. I was in radio out here at the time, and it was a little station called KRAM, and my dad wasn't doing well, so I moved back down to Somerville. Spend some time with him, and ended up getting a gig there. Craig Erickson hired me there as a PD, and taught me a lot. I really sucked.
So you were doing nights at TMA?
Yeah, and the specialty show. We, you know, kind of brought back the old jingles, the mighty TMA, and spun some beach music disc, and it was a lot of fun.
Now, going back a little bit, from somebody who grew up in the area, what did WTMA mean to you? You listened to Bobby Nash, you mentioned.
That was the station back then. I mean, everybody. I mean, headed toward Folly Beach, you know, you cranked up in the morning Bobby Nash, and hey, the Big Boob. Loved, I tell you what, he was my hero when I was a kid. Never had intentions of getting into radio, by the way, either. Just kind of by accident, actually moved next door to the guy Gary Burbank up in Louisville, Kentucky, and I used to do characters with him. And he goes, hey, man, you ought to get in radio. You know, so they ended up giving me a chance to, you know, play in Casey Kasem and stuff like that on the weekends. And I sold industrial tooling products on the side. It was a lot of fun. And then finally, McVeigh says, hey, man, you want to move out to Vegas? I get you a job on an AM. Yeah, so I took off, got a divorce. You know, the whole thing with the radio, you get a divorce and move out of town.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so I had my first gig, full-time gig, actually, out here. So that was 79, so it was a great time.
What do you remember about WTMA the time you were here in 1981? I guess by that time it had transformed into an adult contemporary station after being a top 40 station for many years.
Yeah, pretty much, except for the point where, you know, I did the Mighty TMA oldies show. It was the Tams, and if you remember those names from around Folly Beach.
Mm-hmm.
So mine was a little different than, I guess, everybody else's shift, and I did some fill-ins. And great story. And I don't know if you remember this or you were there, and I believe it had to be on the weekend. I was on the air, and all of a sudden I thought, you know, I kind of smell smoke back here a little bit. What the hell is that? About that time, three firemen, full gear with hatchets, axes, ran by the studio window. I thought, oh, my God, there's a fire. I didn't know what to do. You know, I said, I've got a two-minute record on here, and I'm going to burn up, but what am I going to do? I can't leave the record. So I stayed in. I stayed on the air for the entire time. They put the fire out. I guess it was an electrical fire in the back, and the studio's full of smoke, and I'm standing there spinning records like an idiot.
Oh, you're a trooper, a true broadcast professional, going down with the ship.
I thought I'd get fired if I left, so either way, I was fired, you know. That's a sick joke, wasn't it? On a sour note, the GM at the time, we had some network problems with, I guess, the audio. Comes running into the studio, you know, just throws his arm out and shoves me aside. I'm a big guy, you know, so for him to do it, well, so is he. And when I told Craig, I said, look, tell him not to do that. You know, don't touch me, please. And about 4 days later, here he comes, running again, you know, shoves me aside. So I yank my headsets out, and I said, CJ, you got the helm there, buddy. And toward the end of the shift, anyhow, so I just walked out and got in my car and drove away.
Oh,
so
that was your last day at WTMA.
That was my last day at WTMA. It was kind of a sad note to have to do it that way, but it was kind of funny. And I mentioned a story about a guy named Big Ron O'Brien from Kiss in L.A.
Oh, yeah, Big one of the all-time great DJs.
Absolutely. We were at a convention, and both of us saw CJ coming, and he goes, "There's the that told me I'd never make it in radio." I said, "Where?" And he points out, and I said, "That's CJ." He said, "Yeah, that's him." And I said, "Oh, man." I said, I gave him my story. He goes up to CJ, introduces himself. "Hi, Big Ron O'Brien, Kiss in L.A. I guess I never did make it in radio, CJ." Just turned around and walked off. But, yeah, Big Ron O'Brien was a big name out in L.A. for a long time for somebody that couldn't make it.
Well, you know, that tradition kind of continued at WTMA in years. When the station became a talk radio station in 1989, a guy by the name of Sean Hannity applied for a job here, and the general manager told him that he had no future in talk radio.
Well, you know, I guess that just proves to anybody that may listen to a conversation and not give up, you know, because I went on to have a lot of fun, a lot of success in radio, and obviously Big Ron and guys like that did too. So, you know, to the young guys, which is sad these days because they don't get as many opportunities as we had when radio was a whole lot different than it is today. I finally got out of the business and pretty much stayed in broadcasting, but having fun out here running a TV station for the city of Las Vegas and our mob attorney lawyer, or mayor, so he's a great guy.
So Las Vegas, that's, I guess, your second home, huh?
Yes, it is. You know, I've been out here ever since, you know, then, for a year before I went back and worked at TMA and came back out here. Been here pretty much ever since, except for about a year or so in Columbus, Ohio, at WNCI. So.
Besides CJ and Craig Erickson, any other folks that you remember from WTMA that you work with?
You know, I'm sad to say that I don't. I was pretty much a loner myself. Went there, did my radio show pretty much, talked to you guys in the hallways every once in a while. But
yeah, we had the pleasure of working together. I was working at 95SX doing the afternoon show, so I saw you every day. I think I worked till 8 o'clock every night.
Yeah, you were there quite a bit. And it's amazing that you were around there that long. I mean, that's such a great guy. Usually nice guys don't make it, you know?
Well, I guess if you can make it in Charleston, you can make it anywhere.
The market at the time, you know, SX was the big station, and I think went on to become even bigger, if I can recall, you know, the FM stations, poor AM stations, man. We, you know, we were a sign of the times, and FM was just such a magnitude of force as far as broadcasting goes that it was kind of sad to see, you know, TMA go from what it used to be when I was a kid growing up. I was kind of heartbroken it was AC, to be honest with you, you know, simply because it was beach music and top 40 when I was a kid, and then all of a sudden you get there and they're playing Barry Manilow, man, come on. But I enjoyed it, and the marketplace, you know, I don't remember that much about the competition at the time. We were our own entity, kind of struggling along, doing what we could do to stay on the air, so SX was the masterpiece.